Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're so blessed that you listen to each week to these messages. This week's message during the third week of Advent is great joy. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 60. 1 through 4, and Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20. We'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at the Seed Christian Fellowship for worship. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91701, or you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and join us at 9 a.m. Pacific. If you miss those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube and watch our worship services, our weekly children's messages, or just our weekly messages at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Our Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Isaiah. Let us listen for God's word. But before we go to God's word, let us pray. Lord, we give you our lives. We pray your word will fill us to overflowing with the gifts of Advent today, this week, and every day. May your hope, your love, and your joy fill us to overflowing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your Bible, Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 4. If you don't have a Bible, we have a man in our church who bought cases of Bible, the one-year Bible, and he's giving them away. If you want a one-year Bible and you can read along with people in the church, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We also have a scripture reference book that he put together we'd love to give you. Listen to Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 4. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Little ones say the cutest things, don't they? There was this little five-year-old girl who was helping her mom set the table one Sunday for Christmas. She stopped for a moment and announced, quote, "Jesus was a Swede." More than a little surprised, the mother corrected her, "Oh, no, dear, Jesus was a Jewish man. I'll read it to you from the Bible after lunch," the mom said. Pensively, the little girl looked out at the mom and then laid out some silverware, and then her face brightened. "Mommy, I can prove it to you. We sang about it in Sunday school today." Triumphantly, she sang, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head." That's how she sang it. It's sweet. Adam, a little bright-eyed three-year-old boy, had been told of his German heritage, and after church in early December, he was asked if he had a part in the Sunday school Christmas pageant. He said, "Yes," he replied, his eyes filling with joy. "I'm going to be a German shepherd." Children say the sweetest things. Angels and shepherds, cattle lowing and sheep sleeping, wise men traveling and kings wandering, busy innkeepers and common people. Mary and Joseph and sweet Jesus, or sweet little Jesus and German shepherds. You have heard the Christmas story over and over again throughout your lifetime, I'm sure. I'm sure you have read the different accounts of the birth of Christ from the Bible. Luke tells us of the birth of John the Baptist before he tells us of the birth of the Messiah. Matthew tells us of the genealogy of Christ before we're told of his virgin birth. We have been lighting Advent candles at our church. Maybe you have Advent candles at your home. The first week, we lit a candle of hope. I have a little acrostic, Heaven's One Promise, Emmanuel. The second week, we lit a candle of love. I gave you an acronym for that. Listen, overlook, value, and encourage. This week, we light the candle of joy, Jesus, others, and you. What does it mean to know Jesus? Isn't that a great question? What does it mean to have Jesus in your heart? What does it mean to have others know Jesus? What does it mean to have others have Jesus in their hearts? Joy. What does joy mean to you? That's what we're going to talk about today. Has it been hard finding joy this Advent and Christmas season? Did you know that joy comes from within? Isaiah the prophet said, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And that day you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim his name is exalted.'" Isaiah 12, verses 3 and 4. Nehemiah told the Israelites that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Jesus told his disciples that he was given to them and he would give them his joy, and his joy was complete. Listen to John 16:24. "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Paul wrote a letter called the Philippians, or to the Philippians, and it's called the Letter of Joy. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Happiness depends on a happening. Joy comes from having Jesus in your heart. Let us turn to our passage of Scripture for today in the New Testament. The New Testament text comes from Dr. Luke as he retells the story told him. Let us listen to God's word. May God's word be a light that shines into the dark places of our hearts and lives. And may this written word become the word made flesh in our hearts today. May the living word fill us with hope, love, joy, and peace of Christmas. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20. "In that region, there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy to all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." The lesson for this week pertains to the word joy. Joy to the world. That's a great song to sing. Maybe you should put it on your iTunes or Apple or wherever you play music. Joy to the world. Or, "I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart." Joy. What comes to your mind when you hear the word joy? Three simple letters. Only three letters, but oh, so powerful. They can transform and change our lives. My wife loves to wear what she calls her Christmas uniform, a black sweater with the word joy splashed across it. I'm not kidding you. As we go around with her wearing that sweater, someone will see her and start singing, "I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart." Joy is Jesus, others, and you. The first thing I want you to know is that in this sermon note for today is that shepherds were joyful in their journey. Let me say that again. The shepherds were joyful in their journey. After you write that down, write this down. Am I joyful in my journey? This past week, 10 of us went down to pack shoeboxes at the Samaritan's Purse warehouse. Do you know that they pack and send out millions of shoeboxes each year? We broke into two groups and stood on our feet for 4 to 5 hours inspecting boxes, taping boxes, praying over boxes, scanning boxes, putting shoeboxes into other boxes, and lifting those heavy boxes onto rails to be packed into waiting trucks. I'm telling you, there was such joy in that place. So far, this Christmas season, the Seed has helped to pack well over 95,000 boxes. Can you imagine the joy those children will have by receiving a gift from someone in America? How's it going? Are you finding joy this Christmas season? At the beginning of this Advent season, I wondered if God could do it again. Help me to find Christmas. It's been a hard year for all of us. Not only have we been battling with different things that have been going on, we've overcome the COVID pandemic with lockdowns, masks, and all the things we faced there. Now we have wars and rumors of wars. I lost a brother, a dad, a mother, and another father, an uncle, and dear friends in 600 days, six family members gone to heaven. How about you? Have you ever really thought about entering into the Christmas joy? Have you ever thought about entering into the Christmas story? Have you put yourself into their shoes like Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph? That's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. Who would you be? Zechariah or Elizabeth, Mary or Joseph, a wise man or a woman, a doubting king or a busy innkeeper? How about an angel or a shepherd? Today, I'd like for you to enter into the Christmas story through the eyes of the shepherds. Back in the time of the Messiah's birth, shepherds were not looked upon. Well, they weren't looked upon as upstanding citizens. They were outcast in many ways. They were on the bottom rung of the social ladder. They were uneducated and unskilled, and they were viewed as dishonest, unreliable, and unsavory. They actually were not allowed into the synagogue because they were unclean. They could not be a witness in court and a court case because of their reputation. They lived outside with sheep. They were smelly, sweaty, and stinky. Who wants these guys at Christmas Eve service or dinner? Shepherds were outcast and overlooked by many, but not by God. We've been listening to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship, and this is Pastor Dave. I would love to have our prayer team pray for you. I just received an email from a listener, and he has been diagnosed with cancer. I'm not going to list his name, but I want you to pray for him and pray for his family. Pray that God will work a miracle in his life, and may the powerful presence and perfect peace surround that man. God is a God of miracles. We've been talking about shepherds. Shepherds were outcast and overlooked by many, not by God. Think about this. It was a group of outsiders, outcast, and overlooked shepherds that the angel of the Lord first appeared to bring the news about, well, the news of all news, the good news of great joy. Think of it, the good news of great joy given to a small band, well, of maybe homeless shepherds. Have you ever asked why? Why shepherds? Why not kings and priests and Pharisees and prophets and presidents? If we were going to announce the greatest news of all history, wouldn't we go to, well, CNN, ABC, CBS, CNBC, or Fox News, or whatever you watch? Would we go to the social media things that you're on? Several years ago, we took a youth group down to Ensenada, Mexico, to build a church and do vacation Bible school. It was humbling and eye-opening to see the life that most of these people lived. One day, our guide took us out into the fields to share the good news of Christ with the Indian-Mexican migrant workers. I'll never forget walking through their little village on the outskirts of the fields they farmed. They lived in houses made of cardboard and plastic, all made from rescued trash bags. There were a few hundred people huddled inside these homes. Their bathroom was one outdoor outhouse, and their shower was a bucket on stilts housed with rainwater. The people showered as a group under the bucket. These were the poorest of the poor. They were considered outsiders and outcasts, overlooked by their own people. When I thought about that trip, I thought about, well, this is to whom the shepherds of Jesus' day were like. Outcast, misunderstood. Not welcome, called unclean. So what? Here we are. It's the third week of Advent. Our gospel tells us that after the shepherds heard and saw the angels, they went with haste to Bethlehem. big-time Bethlehem, small-time shepherds. They went to find the baby in a manger, wrapped in the swaddling cloth. Jim Cimbala, pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, tells the following story. It was Easter Sunday, and I was so tired at the end of the day that I was just went to the edge of the platform, pulled down my tie, and sat down and draped my feet over the edge. It was a wonderful service with many people coming forward. The counselors were talking with these people, and as I was sitting there, I looked out, and I looked up in the middle of the aisle, and there, about a third row, was a man who looked about 50, disheveled, filthy. He looked at me rather sheepishly as if saying, did I talk to you? We have homeless people coming in all the time, asking for money or whatever. So I sat there. I said to myself, though I felt a little ashamed of it, what a way to end a Sunday. I've had such a good time preaching and ministering, and here's a fellow probably wanting some money or more wine. He walked up. When he got within 5 feet of me, I smelled a horrible smell, like I've never smelled in my life. It was so awful that when he got close, I would inhale by looking away, and then I'd talk to him and then look away to inhale again because I couldn't inhale facing him. I asked him, what's your name? David. How long have you been on the street? 6 years. How old are you? 32. He looked 50. Hair matted, front teeth missing, wino, eyes slightly glazed. Where did you sleep last night, David? Abandoned truck. I keep in my back pocket a money clip and also hold some credit cards. I fumbled to pick out one, thinking, I'll give him some money. I won't even get a volunteer. They're all busy talking to others. Usually we don't give money to people. We take them to get something to eat. I took the money out. David pushed his finger in front of me. He said, I don't want your money. I want this Jesus, the one you're talking about, because I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die on the street. I completely forgot about David, and I started to weep myself. I was going to give a couple of dollars to someone God had sent to me. Do you see how easy it is? I could make the excuse I was tired. There's no excuse. I was not seeing him the way God sees him. I was not feeling what God feels. But oh, did that change? David just stood there. He didn't know what was happening. I pleaded with God. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry to represent you this way. I'm so sorry. Here I am with my message and my points, and you send me somebody, and I'm not ready for it. Oh, God. Something came over me suddenly. I started to weep deeper, and then David began to weep. He fell against my chest, and I was sitting there. He fell against my white shirt, and I put my arms around him, and there we wept on each other. The smell of this person became a beautiful aroma. Here is what I thought the Lord made real to me. If you don't love this smell, you can't use me, because this is why I called you where you are. This is what you're about. You are about this smell. Christ changed David's life. He started memorizing portions of Scripture that were incredible. We got him a place to live. We hired him in the church to do maintenance, and we got his teeth fixed. He was a handsome man when he came out of the hospital. We detoxed him, and the hospital detoxed him in 6 days. He spent that Thanksgiving at my house. He also spent Christmas at my house. Then we were exchanging presents. He pulled out a little thing and he said, this is for you. It was a little white hanky. It was the only thing he could afford. A year later, David got up and talked about his conversion to Christ. The minute he took the mic and began to speak, I said, that man is a preacher. This past Easter, we ordained David. He is an associate minister of a church over in New Jersey. And I was so close to saying, here, take this. I'm busy. I'm an important preacher. We can get so full of ourselves. Pause and ponder that. At the beginning of this message, I asked you a few questions about finding Christmas this year. Have you found the good news of great joy? I said, try looking through the eyes of those who were there. What did they see? What did they experience? What did they feel about the news the angel brought them? What do they do with it? Did they find Christmas and change? Did they find Christmas and stay the same? Or did they find the joy of finding Jesus? This is our so what for today. What do you see this Christmas? What have you experienced this Christmas season? How do you feel about the good news of great joy that came with the angels? Can you imagine being out in the fields at night taking care of 1,000 sheep and suddenly you are seeing and hearing angels in the night sky? Really, what are you going to do with the good news? Will you find Christmas and be changed? Will you find Christmas and stay the same? Will you find the great joy that comes at Christmas time? I've had to answer all these questions. I've been asking you each week, finding hope, finding love, finding joy. Those have been our Advent themes these past 3 weeks. I've been happy to report I am finding hope. I am finding love, and I am finding joy. I find hope, love, and joy, well, in my wife and my children and grandchildren every day. I find hope, love, and joy every Sunday in the music, in our worship, and seeing you in church, talking to you on the radio. I find hope, love, and joy in our small groups and our missions like Operation Shoebox and Thanksgiving Baskets and Noisy Sundays. I think I'm a lot like Zechariah with God at work in the silences of my life. Slowly but surely, God is at work, and God is preparing our hearts. Like Mary, do we trust the Holy Spirit? Better yet, do you trust that nothing is impossible with God? Well, I do. I hope that God is working while we're waiting. Like Joseph, do I believe Emmanuel, God is with us? I know God is with me. I know God is with you. I know God is with us. Like the pastor who helped David, God so loves us all that he sent his one and only son. Well, like the overlooked shepherds, will I go with haste and search for the good news of great joy? You bet. Is there someone in your family, in your neighborhood, in your work, in your school who is overlooked? Send them some Christmas joy. Jesus, others, and you. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, and you this week. This Advent season, God is at work in our lives. Overlooked shepherds of the world, the angels are bringing us good news of great joy. Wow. Joy to the World. That's a great song. I'd encourage you to go turn on some Christmas music, turn on Joy to the World, and sing it. I don't know what you're struggling with this Christmas season, this Advent season, but my prayer is that you'll come to know the hope that we find in Christ, the love that we find in Christ, and the joy that we find in Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, I pray for all the listeners that listen each week. I pray that your Holy Spirit would envelop them, strengthen them, open their eyes to see the glorious things that you have prepared for them. Let them know that they're not forgotten, that you're with them, they're not overlooked. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day until we meet again. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.